Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very thankful that you took this time to join us and to participate in what we call African liberation, motivation, and inspiration. Before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are certainly very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, tonight we are going to continue some dialogue that we started last week, but of course we're going to also give you some other fresh and new kinds of information. We're going to hear from a sister very shortly who is going to give us a report on what's going on the campus of Temple University here in Philadelphia. Of course, all over the country, the Black Studies, Africana Studies, and so forth departments are really starting to take on a different kind of tone and look and so forth. Well, here in Philly is no different, and so we're going to talk to a sister very shortly who's going to give us some information and insight into how it's happening here in Philly. You know, how do you have a African-American Studies department headed up by a white woman? I mean, that just seems a little strange to me, but, well, I'd like to know what you all think. We're going to open up the live line, or should I say the chat room. We're going to open that up a little later on, but certainly the phone lines will be open for you very shortly as well, within the next couple of minutes, actually, and then the chat room will be open for you probably around, I would say, 11. At any rate, we're going to also talk about, wow, I don't know if you've heard about what's known as the House of Horrors here in Philadelphia. Well, there is a doctor, Dr. Kemet Gosnell, who is now on trial here in Philly for murders of babies in particular. And see, this is beyond what you might call abortion. You know, whether you're for or against it, the fact is that this supposedly place and people did stuff that was just crazy. I mean, really crazy. I mean, like, you know, aborting fetuses or, no, not fetuses, aborting babies, babies that were full term. Well, we're going to talk about that, and talking with us about that a little later on is going to be joining us again, Dr. Randy Short, who was with us last week, and we're going to connect the dots with the different types of, if not genocide, certainly, you know, some other kinds of eliminations going on in our community. We're going to talk about a birth control that's in our communities, I mean, all over the country, and we are committed to making certain that people become more aware of it. It's called Depo Provera, and from what we're being told, women are having this thing shot up in their arm. I'll check with Dr. Short and Brother Kamal shortly to find out if it's in pill form yet, because you know that's what they usually do after they, you know, do the trial test with the injection. They then put it in another form. But this particular kind of birth control is said to not only cause diabetes, nerve damage, high blood pressure, I mean, an array of things, including death. And this is something that's being pushed in our community in particular amongst our women and girls, but without a lot of the information. You know how, if for those of you who do watch TV, I know a lot of you don't, but for those who do, you know how you see those commercials that talk about these new drugs that they have out for depression and all the different stuff, and they tell you about how great it is, but then at the end they tell you in a calmer, lower voice, but it could cause heart attack, hair lossage, skin flaking, and all of that. Well, you know, this birth control thing is being pushed out on our people and on our sisters without them really being told about the other side effects. They're being told how great this stuff is in other ways. But we're going to give you more information about that, including the campaign that is getting ready to be launched nationwide. Oh, and by the way, this birth control thing, they're also shipping it out throughout Africa and having our sisters in the continent and diaspora subjected to it. Oh, did I mention that it also causes sterilization? But, again, we're going to get to that a little later on. At any rate, that's all what we wanted to talk to you about. And, of course, we're going to give you some Mumia Abu-Jamal updates. I talked with Sister Pam a little while ago. She's at the Immortal Technique concert. Yep, Immortal Technique is here in Philly. And we are inviting Immortal Technique to join us, of course, in October, on October 25th, when we do the Rally for Justice. And we're going to give you some updates about that as well. And now let's see, what else do we want to tell you about before we get ready to go to our live line? Oh, wow, there's so many things we wanted to bring to your attention. But before we do that, I just want to share something with you. Oftentimes we salute our women here at New Day, and, of course, during Women's History Month, we did so then. But we do it ongoingly because we know that we must. And especially, you know, when you hear us talk about our ancestors, well, of course, as we proceed into June, when we will be ready for our boycott, well, we will in the process highlight African women, black women who made serious contributions in the music industry or in the music field, in the art of music. And one of those people, of course, is one of my favorites, and you've probably heard me speak of her on numerous occasions. And, of course, I'm talking about none other than who I call the Empress, none other than Nina Simone. And so there's a piece that I ran across earlier that I really would like to share with you. And I want you to listen to it very, very very carefully, because the one thing about Nina Simone is she has some serious messages in a lot of her music. And so I really want you all to, again, hear this particular one. And if you have some comments about it, I certainly would like for you to tell me. Nina Simone.
Maybe once you kick me and it makes you feel well and scrummy, because it's a town in the scrummy old hotel, but you'll never get through this talking. No, you could never get through this talking. Then one night there's a scream in the night, and you wonder who could that have been. And you see me kind of grinning while I'm scrubbing. And you say, what she got to grin for? I'll tell you. There's a scene. The Black Raven. You gentlemen can say, hey, gal, finish them floors. Get upstairs. What's wrong with you? I'm your chief here. You toss me your tips and look out to the ships, but I'm counting your heads as I'm making the bed, because there's nobody going to sleep here tonight. Nobody's going to sleep here, honey. Nobody. Nobody. Then one night, there's a scream in the night, and you say, who's that kicking up around? And you see me kind of staring out the window. And you say, what you got to stare at now? I'll tell you. There's a sphere, the Black Raven, stands around comes from above. Now, you gentlemen can wipe off that smile off your face, because every building in town is a black one. This whole frickin' place will be down to the ground, only this cheap hotel standing up safe and sound. And you yell, why do they spare that one? And yes, that's what you say. Why do they spare that one? All the night through the noise and to do, you wonder who is that person that lives up there. And you see me stepping out in the morning, looking nice with a ribbon in my hair. And the ship, the black river, and the flag of its mast and the cheering flare. I knew down the dock is swarming with men coming out from the grossly freezer. And they're moving in the shadows where no one can see. And they're chaining up people and they're bringing them to me, asking me to kill them now or later. Asking me. By the flock, and so still at the dock, you can hear far on miles away, and in that quiet up there, I say.
Interesting story there. And for you sisters that have that kind of spirit, please feel free to give me a message in the email in particular as we begin to formulate our Shekmet society. And remember now that, you know, we deal with things holistically. So that means all across the board. And for those, again, who kind of was feeling that particular one, well, again, please feel free to send us a message via email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, we are waiting for a sister to call in to talk to us about what is going on at Temple University. And sister, if you are hearing me, I'm not seeing you on our board, so please push one so that I may be able to determine that you are, in fact, waiting to get on. I hope our boards are not acting up tonight. We do have quite a few callers. But at any rate, we are going to talk more about what is going on all over the country with what's known as Black Studies, African Studies. And I just want to give you a little history about what happened here in Philadelphia at Temple. Now, with that said, it just so happened that I attended Temple University for a while, and was also involved in the Pan-African Studies Community Education Program. Now, at that particular time, the department was called, the actual Department of Study was called the Pan-African Studies Department. Somehow, it became the African-American Studies Department. And I'm sure that when we get our sister on, she'll be able to give us some further insight into how that came about. But we knew then that once you began to kind of diminish or focus specifically on African-American as opposed to Pan-African, we knew then that something was going on, and very soon some things were going to change. And so here we are now. Took them a little longer, but here we are now, and it has in fact occurred. Temple is taking over, shall we say, the whole area of North Philadelphia. I mean, it is incredible to see what some call gentrification and certainly what we call just straight up land grabbing and displacement. It is going on up in there like you would not believe, but going back again to the African-American Studies Department, well, it is, shall we say, one that is very, very well known because of Dr. Malefi Asante, of course, being the what some call the father of Afrocentricity. Oh, looks like our caller may be in right about now, so we're going to get ready to go to our live line and really go further into this dialogue. But at any rate, what we want to convey to you is that, and we had Dr. Issa on a few weeks back, and he was talking about how the various black colleges and universities, historically ones that are considered to be historic, how they are now becoming white. And now, again, we are beginning to hear and see the same thing occur with African American or Africana Studies Department. Now, for those of you who may be familiar with University of Kent, their department has for quite a while been head up by white people. So this is not like something new happening, but we are certainly beginning to see it more and more. And I suspect we're going to see it more and more because there are some good things that have come out of these departments. And we all know the enemy really ain't trying to see too much more of that happen. During the 60s and early 70s, you know, there was a level of consciousness that was quite evident. And I dare say it was as a result of some of the black studies departments and studies and courses and classes and so forth that was made more readily available. And certainly let's not forget the students who fought to make certain that black studies was on the campus. I mean, students had sit-ins and so forth and so on. Over the years, of course, this has really changed. Students have become a lot less proactive on most campuses, especially in dealing directly with administrations, whereas before, students were really, I mean, fired up. And I know because that's what drew me to you know, go to so-called higher education. I wanted to be involved in the movement. Unfortunately, by the time I got there, the movement was it had moved, you know. And so, you know, we saw how it was kind of, you know, fading out. And over the years, of course, those who were involved in those kind of activities kind of embraced the corporate world. But nevertheless, we're going to get ready to go through our live line, and we're going to talk more about this particular topic. And then a little later on, we're going to go back to what we said earlier with the House of Horrors, with the murders that took place here in Philly in terms of, the so-called, it this was beyond abortion. This was some other stuff, too. I mean, anytime you put, fetuses in jars, and numerous, and just all kinds of horrific kinds of things happened. So we're going to talk more about that. A little later on, too, we're going to bring on Dr. Randy Short and Brother Kamal Hosto. And so, again, before we do that, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And, just had a little disconnection here. We're going to go to our live line. And joining us is a sister who is going to give us some information about what has been going on at Temple. This has been happening for the past 2 months, actually, and, people again saw it coming, but, unfortunately, the struggle does indeed continue, what can we say? And we know that it certainly will continue to be a struggle, because until we have our own independent schools, and I'm not talking about just charter schools, I'm talking about real independent schools, until we have that for ourselves, and until we have our own piece of higher education that we actually own and operate, well, we say it's all be what it is. So without further ado, what we're going to do is go to our live line, and hopefully we have Tia Adua joining us. Let's see now. We're going to plug in. Hopefully this is you, sister, at 1613.
Yes, Hotep.
Okay. Oh, my Hotep, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Always fine, especially when we're here communicating with our family.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing.
No doubt. Well, sister, thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. And we just going to take our time and give our family information that we really need to be more aware of. And certainly if there is now some ongoing kinds of things that are happening in support, we certainly want to know about that so that folks can, be geared up and ready to do that. And the folks who tune in to us, they are that kind of folk. They listen very well, but then they also, respond very well as such. So, if you would please just take a few moments to tell us a little bit about you. I got your information a little late, so I wasn't able to really give the introduction that I wanted to for you, but I certainly welcome you and give you this opportunity to just share a little bit about you. And then we're going to go into what's happening at Temple University, the Department of African American Studies.
Okay, hold up, everyone. My name is E.I. Ajwa. I'm born, raised, and educated in Philadelphia. And I've watched Temple from the very beginning. Well, not their very beginning, but they've become Temple Town at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the gentrification occur. And it just seems like what they're doing with the African American Studies Department is part of the gentrification process. They just want to eliminate all of us from the area. You know, they don't want any of our stories to be told. You know, they don't want to hear anything about us. They don't want to see us, you know. And that's pretty much what my fight is. It has always been since age 8. You know, I was turned on to the Moors of Spain by my grandfather, who was a carpenter, and you know, very literate in what he knew about African people. And so that's when my hunger first started, when I was 8 years old, And I was not able to begin to satiate it until I was about 16, and I got hold of some books, and just I've been reading every since.
All
so
right.
I am a lifelong learner and educator. Mm-hmm. Presently, mm-hmm. I'm a business owner. I own Cultural Rebirth Connections International, formerly known as Lahaini Mesu Productions, and I'm also the president of Afrocentricity International Philly PA chapter. And so I devote a lot of my time and energy towards African people, telling and sharing the African story, helping people locate who they are in terms of the African story. And that's my interest, that's my love, that's my desire. And I believe that's what the ancestors sent me here to do. And I'd like to say also, Asante Sana, thank you very much for inviting me on the show.
Oh, indeed. We would be remiss, sister, if we, did not try to provide as much information and access, to our people. We're right. The Million Women March National is based right here in Philadelphia. We started here. We remain here.
Yeah.
And so, being here, we have to make sure that we let people know what's going on here. So before we go into what is going on at Temple, you, in fact, did get your doctorates from Temple. Is that correct?
I did something really strange. All three of my college degrees are from Temple. Just so happened that when I was completing my bachelor's in early childhood education, Temple was starting their master's program in African American Studies, and I was so on board. And I joined. I became a part of the department. I got accepted, got my master's. And then before I finished my master's, they were offering the PhD. And there was no other place in the country, in the world, in fact, offering such a degree. And so I ended up staying at Temple, got my master's and PhD in African American Studies. Very, very thankful to the efforts of the people, especially Dr. Malefia Sante, who, put that in place and was also instrumental in helping me obtain my PhD in African American Studies.
Very good, very good. Okay, I too was a student at Temple right before Dr. Malefi came, and of course the department was called at that point the Pan-African Studies Department.
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yes. So
we kind of knew that some changes were going to be made, and in fact, unfortunately, it did happen, because once it became African-American, The kind of emphasis on Pan-Africanism kind of, went in a different direction. But nevertheless, so tell us what's going on now. What's happening now?
Well, the latest thing is that the undergraduates just had a rally. I think it was this past Wednesday at the Bell Tower. And from the pictures that I've seen, because I was not able to make it, there were a lot. It was a bigger crowd than at the graduate students' rally. Now, everything is still, underwater, so to speak. There was a, I think they call it a, there was some kind of a preemptive, I'm not sure if I'm using the correct word, meeting about the selection of a new chair. And what it has come down to is that the choices are between Dr. Asante and Dr. Tony Montero, because that's the latest update, and they are supposed to vote on this decision they're supposed to make this decision on April 16th. Now, faculty has already faculty will have their vote in, but unfortunately, Dean Soufis is still able to just hold things in sway. So, in other words, the faculty may turn their votes in, but we still may not hear anything about what decision is going to be made, because there's no kind of enforcement to get her to do what she's supposed to do. She has already violated Temple's union contract. She should not even have a vote, but she still has a vote. We're doing what we can on this end. I hope people, if you are interested, please sign the petitions that are going around. Please send the letters in. Flood their offices, the president and the provost. Let your voice be heard. Because if this department goes down, all of the programs and departments are eventually going to disappear. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how these colleges and universities in urban areas are. They come in and they take over. They have no recourse.
Right.
They feel like there's nothing that they have to do for the people in the community. And we know for a fact that a lot of gentrification occurs as a result. So you have black families being moved out this place, you know, and these little college university towns propping up everywhere. And,
right.
you know, they owe it to those communities that they have displaced to, you know, at least have, you know, African-American studies, African studies, Pan-African studies, Africana studies, whatever they want to call it, they need to have that there at that university or
right.
at that college. That is something that they need to do, and that needs to stay in place. So that's the latest. So there's supposed to be a vote on the 16th, which is this Tuesday. You know, we still need everyone's support. We need everyone to lend their voices. And, you know, like I said, flood the provost and the principal, president's office with letters and notices, emails.
Mm-hmm.
Just flood them. And whenever you hear about another rally, I'm not sure when it will be another one, but please come out and support those rallies and send your letters in. Let your voices be heard. Let us not let this happen without a fight. You know, we definitely need to fight. This is worthy and valuable. We need to fight. And like you said, it's not a surprise that, you know, there was a white woman placed in a position of running as a chairperson of the African American Studies Department, because that's happening across the country. Those of us with the terminal degree in African American Studies, a lot of us can't even get the position, because what they want to do is they put white people with master's degrees. It doesn't matter that they don't have that degree directly in African American Studies, Pan African Studies, Africana
right.
Studies. It doesn't matter. You know, they put those people in those places, and they are running departments. And the same thing is happening at HBCUs across the country as well.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
a lot of the administration is European.
Yeah.
A lot of the administration.
Yeah. That's right. We had a brother on Dr. Eastside of Delaware who did a wonderful article breaking it down, you know.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, how can our people get the petition? And can you email it to me so that we could send it out through our e-list?
I definitely can email it to you. And if you, let me see, I pulled this up. There is a... there's an article in the Metro. I'm just, you know, sharing a lot of the information. They have a Facebook page also. It's called Save Black Studies
okay.
at Temple, and it's mm-hmm. a Facebook page. And there's also an email that you can ask for information, and it's at saveblackstudies.temple@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
Okay. Again, that's right. saveblackstudies.temple@gmail.com. I'm going to go on that page and see if I can pull it up real quick. But
okay.
There's a lot of things that you can do. The petition, if you type in Temple Save Black Studies petition, it will come up.
Okay,
it's very good. Change.org page, but I'm going to go to that site real quick while I'm talking to you.
I was just going to say also, family, while Sister's doing that, we want you to know that the chat room is open. If you have some comments or questions that you'd like to post there or suggestions or what have you, the chat room is open for you now. Go ahead, Sister.
Okay. No, that's another one. Okay. I had this all in place. Oh, here I go. Yeah, so there's a lot that you can do. It's never too late. Like I said, they're voting on the 16th. Definitely the students want and need Black Studies at Temple. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't think that we're not, no one's being quiet about this. This is something that has to happen, and it will happen. You know, it's going to take
mm-hmm.
place. So there's
mm-hmm.
plenty to do. It's Save Black Studies. at temple.temple at gmail.com. You can get a lot of information. There's also a interview that was that occurred, I think it's on Vox Union, V-O-X-U-N-I-O-N.
Right.
Two of the graduate students were interviewed so that, you know, asked to share about what was happening with the department. But like I said, the latest information is that they're going to vote on the 16th. They just had a vote this on, I believe it was April 9th they had a vote. And so we're contacting all kinds of people at Afrocentricity International Philly. We've been doing a letter writing campaign. We actually got through to Dr. Bill Cosby and told him about what was going on so that he could contact some of those bigwigs up there. Yes, and he responded.
Right.
He responded.
Oh, really?
Also, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he was very concerned. He wanted to know what was going on. You know, I don't know what kind of impact, if he actually made a call or whatever, you know, but he did, he returned our call, and we actually were able to put him in touch with Dr. Asante so that he could get a full account of exactly what was going on in terms of the situation with the Department of African American Studies. And as you know, usually part of the, not as you know, but part of the process is that, you know, faculty and students have some input into who the next chairperson is. And usually that's the case for most departments. But no, that can't be something that, you know, the Black Studies Department is capable of doing. And so when they first selected their first person, which was Kaviyanu Welsh, they rejected her. They did not want her to be a part, be the chair of the department. And so that's when they came and put the white woman in now. Now, one good thing that has come as a result is that that white woman, I think her name is Jane Drake right now, who's interim acting chair, she is definitely going to be out of the picture. That, at least that was the information that was shared. Because, you know, they tell us one thing and they do another.
Right,
so, you know, you just can't, just can't call it with them folks. So, but that was the latest thing that happened, that, you know, it's supposed to be that she's not going to no longer be running the department. So, like I said, everyone's hoping that on Tuesday the 16th that the dean won't, you know, hold that vote, because she could just sit on it if she wanted to,
right.
You know.
Right.
She can just sit on it and hold it and hold things up, you know. And I hope that's not what she does. But if you go to their Facebook page, you can see the people. The people are concerned. You know, it's always the African people just let things happen to them. African people always fight. We have always fought. And if
that's
we didn't,
right.
we wouldn't. None of us would be here right now to talk about that. You know, we've always fought. That's part of why we're still here, is because we fought. You know,
that's right. No doubt about it. Because if we hadn't, we would not be here.
Okay.
No doubt about that.
Not be here. That's real talk. You know?
No, that's right.
So I'm looking at some of these. Go ahead.
Let me ask, there was an article, one of my colleagues brought to my attention an article, and I'm looking at it now. Temple students rally against budget cuts, and they got a photo of Sister Pam Africa with talking, and behind it, there's a sign that says power to the people. Now, I found this interesting that it said students, Temple students rally against budget cuts as the heading. You know, which is okay, but I just think, you know, they should have really gotten to some very key things first, which was what's going on with the African American Studies Department and how it's being whitewashed. But nevertheless, they did put something in the article. Did you in the Tribune? Did you see that article?
I'm familiar with the article, and I agree with what you said. So, I mean, I'm familiar. You know, maybe the concern was that they knew that if Temple is one of the first things they're probably going to try to cut is Black Studies, you
right.
know. And so maybe that was why they was rallying, you know, against budget cuts. because they knew that that was going to have an impact on them. Okay, right. So I found the petition is at www.change.org, and
right.
if you //, it's supporters of Black Studies at Temple University. So it's www.change.org/supporters of Black Studies at Temple University.
Okay.
And right now they only have 1,018 supporters. They need 482 more supporters.
Okay. Now let me just read something real quick, because I don't want folks to get thrown off from the real issue here. For those who do get the opportunity to look at the article from Temple, that's in the Tribune, I just want to read something briefly, because people need to be real clear about how stuff can get, like, really twisted. And it says here that Sofos, which is one of the representatives from the administration at Temple, explained that every department throughout the university had to lower its budget accordingly, and while cuts were made to supplies, much work was done to make sure that cuts didn't result in the loss of a person's job. In all the colleges of Temple, none were exempt from the cuts, Sofos said. The African American Studies Department was no different than any other department at Temple, and Temple is no different than any other school, as every state school had to do the same thing. Lastly, the only reduction in budget is what the university as a whole had to do, and to say it's under attack is so not true.
She should be on a comedian tour, because she's funny, you know, and she's also a liar, because if you walk into any department at Temple University, you can count how many faculty members they have. Now here it is. This is a world premier department, the first of its kind in the country, and they have 8 staff on faculty.
Mm-hmm.
8 staff. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that they have 8 staff. They should have 8 faculty members. 8 faculty members. And that's
right.
That's crazy, you know. But, you know, when you look at it across countrywide, this is the kind of thing that's happening. When you look at, because when we talk about something called everyone would talk about the prison, the school to prison pipeline, but now it's the criminal
right.
prison pipeline, you know.
Right.
And it's very real. It's very real. And that's something that we all need to think about and be concerned about and take action on. You know, I like what you said about there will be no real education until we have our own schools. That's very real. And that's exactly what my research was about when I did my dissertation. I looked at 3 alternative schools in Philadelphia, and I was determining based on a instrument that I created whether they were Afrocentric. And what I found was that they were surface level Afrocentric. So they were not deep with it. So in other words, they didn't have anything in place that was really teaching about African value systems. Because if we have African value systems in place, then the children will do everything else that they need to do. You know, it's going to become automatic to them. So what we have is we have the greetings. We have, you know, maybe they have the greetings in Swahili or something like that. They get a dashiki.
Right.
They got the African print vest. And that's about that's about as far as it's going to go. You know,
right.
So that's what I found in terms of studying about Afrocentric schools in Philadelphia. But we
right.
cannot, the state is not, and I argue that the state is not going to allow African people to educate their own children, regardless of the fact that they take money from us and us paying taxes. Regardless
right.
of that, this is part of how we are still enslaved. You
That's
know?
Right.
And, yeah, you know, it's
well,
like that.
Well, certainly, sister, let me take this opportunity to personally invite you to participate as a panelist or in some other way, because we're going to have a serious dialogue in October about proceeding in the development of independent school. I sent my children to independent school. There was something here in Philly called the Marcus Garvey Shule. And yes, that's why I find it today, yes, I find it today like an outrage that here in Philadelphia and all over the country, you can't find hardly any really independent shoelace, independent schools. And so one of the things that the Million Women Movement is committed to within the next 3 years, we plan to build a school for girls that is totally independent. And we need help in developing, you know, the curriculum further and certain other aspects. And we're going to have that dialogue so that we can also support those who are doing that or attempting to do that and trying to rebuild that coalition again. Because I remember, what was it called, CB?
Yep, and CB, I love CB. CB is still in place. And CB they are still in place. CB is the only group, organization that they schooled these so-called Afrocentric schools. They said, listen, if your school is not this, that, it has 10 things in place, 10 qualifiers. If your school is not that, your school is not African-centered. And the first, that's what their number one thing is. If your school if your school is getting funding from the state, it is not African-centered.
All right, let's just bring it on. Right, there you go.
And we have models in place. We need to look at what our family are doing in Atlanta. In Atlanta, they got it going on. And I know I've been doing a lot of challenges about Atlanta, but in terms of their independent school collectives that they have there, they have it. We need to study what they are doing because they are able to operate independent schools in Atlanta. It's a few of them. It's more than one. And they are doing a wonderful job. One of the sisters, it was a sister, husband and wife, I think, team, that presented at the Shake Anti Diop conference this past October. They said that they were doing such a good job that the state solicited them to accept funds from them, and they turned them down.
They turned them down
because they said they know what's going to happen if they take funds from the state.
That's right.
They're not
That's
taking
right.
funds from the state. Because the state cannot get with the ceremony and ritual involved in true African knowledge systems. They can't get with that. They don't want to get with that. They are still fearful of that. And rightfully
so.
So
I know that's right.
Right, you know. I mean, you know, our ancestors are strong, and they are here, and you know, they go. A lot of people can't deal with that, but you know, it's not about them. It's not about them. So it's a wonder we have a collective in place. I highly recommend folks look at those independent schools in Atlanta. We got a couple of them going on in Baltimore, but Philly, no, because everyone's getting funding. From the state.
That's
everyone
ready to change.
Funding from the state. Yeah.
I'm so thankful.
Right. Please do.
And we figured out how to fund it. We're going to tell folks a little more about that later on. But you, with your entrepreneur business, we will connect directly to you because we figured out how we're going to raise our funds. See, the Million Woman March really was an apprenticeship, shall we say.
Yes.
It was a job training. And we now know exactly what we need to do to proceed and to do so in a self-determined manner. We're going to open up the phone lines now. For those of you who have a question for our sister Ajua, if you want to bring it on now, we certainly welcome you. We push one so that I know our phone lines are really hot. So if you have a question or a comment you want to bring in right now, please feel free to do so. But you need to push one so I can recognize you or know that you want to be recognized. Okay. In the meantime, the chat room is also open. So we are talking about what's going on the campus of Temple University, what's also going on nationwide. We know that this system definitely does not want any kind of independent thinking or anything that even resembles being real, and so they're phasing it out as they do with everything else. So, hey, family, what are we going to do? That's what we need to also talk about. What are we going to do now? With that said, I do want everyone to know that in a couple of weeks we'll be able to tell you more about the alternative education cadre that myself, Chairman Fred Hampton, and some other brothers and sisters are putting together to deal with the school closings that are taking place nationwide. Now, next week in Philadelphia, they have another hearing because there's two more schools that they're planning to close. Now, again, as you can tell from our conversation, the sister and I and others are really about independent schools. However, it still behooves us to deal with the struggle of how these people are just shutting things down the way that they're doing it. And I did say we need to make sure that we let them know we want at least one of them buildings.
That's right.
Okay. That's what it comes down to. If they can give all these people, these corporations and all these other people those buildings, they need to be giving us what Brother Randy, Dr. Randy Short calls reparative justice or restorative justice.
Restorative justice.
Okay.
I agree.
We're going to talk more about that in the next coming weeks. Okay, I thought someone had a question, but you know what? I know Dr. Randy Short is ready to come on. I believe Brother Kamal is also. I thought someone had a question for you, sister, but I'm not seeing it on my board.
Okay.
So I guess we're going to close this segment out, sister. I thank you so much for providing us with this information, and you certainly are welcome to come on anytime that you may like.
Asante San, I appreciate your efforts, everything that you do, and know that my family, the women in my family were definitely walking with you in the Million Women March. My mother, my sister, my niece, my daughter, my two close friends, we were there. We were very, very happy to participate in the Million Women March.
Well, we really need your support now, sister, because, see, that was just the beginning. And unfortunately, we got infiltrated and betrayed. And
okay.
It took a little longer than what we had hoped to bring forward. But we have not dealt with grants or corporate sponsoring or anything in these 16 years. And that should let people know, you know, where we're really coming from and where our heart and mind truly is. And it took us a little bit to weed out the nonsense and the blindness about it, hint, hint. But nevertheless, we reached it now. And in October, we will hold our Sweet 16 reunion, issue our five-year direct action plan. And sister, again, we need our sisters to really, really support us now because, see, now we are getting ready to declare genocide for our people. But sisters are going to be in the forefront of this call, you see.
Okay.
And so we definitely need our sisters' help. We have membership now, and with all the wonderful skills and talents of our sisters, there's nothing we can do.
That's right. I know that's right. It's our turn. We've always walked with our brothers. It's our turn.
That's right.
We're the ones that have to, you know, bring forth the change that we need for our families. You know,
absolutely.
You know, we walk in the spirit and light of Nzinga and all of the women, all of the warrior queens, the Kentuckys and all the Aminata, all of the warrior queens, you know, Araminta Ross, you know, we walk with all of them in our souls and in our hearts. And, you know, we're going to be here. We're going to be here forever. So let us do what we need to do because it's real, you know, it's African people forever.
That's right, no doubt. Sister, again, Asante Sana to you. And I really look forward to seeing you and giving you a hug.
Yes, I appreciate that. And I reciprocate that hug.
I know that's right. All right, my sister, thank you again.
Okay.
Tutanana.
Tutanana, okay.
All right, family. We were just speaking with Iya Ajua. And, of course, we were talking about what's going on at Temple University and, of course, nationwide with just what we knew would eventually happen. I mean, you know, those who have come before us have warned us quite clearly about some of what was to come, and we now see it all over the country. We, of course, are now looking at what people are calling gentrification, We call it displacement. We also call it land grabbing. But the fact of the matter is there's a big shift going on. Here in Philly, there's 2035 and other cities, they got some other stuff happening. Well, get ready, folks, because it's really coming. Y'all know there's some stuff getting ready to go on. They didn't put Obama in office just because, you know, they thought he was would make a good president. Okay, so you can rest assured some other stuff is happening. Now, with that said, we're going to get ready to go back to our live line, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Randy Stewart some more, as we did last week. But before we do that, we want to remind you, I want to just give you a little quick update on something. One being we're going to have very shortly or in the next week or so our brother Lee Robinson and or brother Bambosi, who is going to kind of give us some information about an upcoming trip that's going to take place to Cuba. And there's going to be a stop in the Dominican Republic as well as in Haiti. Now, I'm mentioning that tonight because for those of you who keep up with the news, then certainly you've been hearing about there have been some celebrities that just went recently to Cuba. And so while we're not going to put a real emphasis on that, what we do want to put a real emphasis on is that perhaps it is time for the embargo to be lifted. Okay? Well, we need to talk about that and do something about that as well. But again, we're going to be raising that up for you in the next couple of weeks. We'll be talking more about that. Okay? But at any rate, we're going to also remind you that Rick Ross, y'all remember him, the one that said that it was okay to get some sisters some mollies and do the rape thing and all of that. Well, it seems that he has been hit, meaning what company was that, one, a sneaker company that he was representing, apparently they got rid of him. Wow. What can we say? Chickens coming home to roost, little Wayne? Well, nevertheless, what we do know is that it's time for us to step this thing up, okay? Before we go to our live line, back to our live line, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All right. It's a new day. No doubt. No doubt. Okay, moving right along. We are going to go back to our live line. Oh, wow. Really good talking with the sister. Before we bring in Brother Dr. Randy Short, we want to give you just a little overview of what has happened here in Philadelphia. There's a trial that is underway. It will resume on Monday, and there's something here called the House of Horrors. A doctor by the name of Kermit Gosnell. I think he's around 72 years old, but what we do know is that he didn't have a license to do anything medically, okay? But certainly, as it turns out, we're talking about some horrendous stuff here. Now, I wanted to be very clear that I'm not taking a position on pro or whatever, or this or that. I think our women, should have the right, the capability to make whatever decision they feel they need to make. However, this right here that we are listening to and looking at, it is a whole other thing. And people need to be aware and careful, okay, about, you know, what they're doing, where they're going, and this and that. Now, this, too, is, as far as I'm concerned, connected to what is also going on with the misinformation, the lack of information about other things, particularly birth control, or so-called birth control. Now, we know that this system is beyond being devious, okay? So why and how they exploit what they do is nothing new. Meaning, there's a drug out there now that sisters, I mean, women, period, but, you know, my preference is going to always be relevant to sisters. Well, you know, sisters are being, shall we say, if not coerced, influenced, motivated, whatever you want to call it, to use this a drug to have this shot up in them called Depo-Provera. Now, I just began to get some of the information by way of Dr. Randy Short and his colleagues, and I'm telling you, this stuff is just insane. And the fact that it's being sent throughout Africa. Now, one of the reasons why we began formulating different components and cadres of MWM so that we could become, for lack of a better word, watchdogs, so we can know what's going on, ask questions, and disseminate information, because we know that certain drugs or certain other products are being sent to Africa. Because, again, this system and other similar systems are really about taking advantage of the lack of information, of the need for certain things, and pushing, you know, what they need to be put or what they want to push. Again, as I mentioned to the sister earlier, on October 25th, as a part of our anniversary, we will be at the Justice Department with the Rally for Justice. And at that point, we'll declare and issue We Charge Genocide. Now, going back to the House of Horrors here in Philly, for those of you to get our e-glass, we sent you a couple of articles. There's one young sister who was a former intern at what was known as the Philadelphia Women's Health Society or something like that. This was in West Philadelphia, located in West Philadelphia. At any rate, this young sister talks about, you know, she would hear the baby screaming, and these people would take clips, scissors, and cut the back of their necks in order to kill them. And we're talking about seven-month-old babies, okay, not, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but we're talking about, you know, already formed children here, babies. So truly there's something going on. Now, I have to also mention, again, I give much thanks to Brother Randy. I've been attempting to reach out to Sister Elaine Riddick, who, for those of you who saw the My Opera 21, she's featured in that. Sister Elaine did call me the other day. She is coming to the Rally for Justice in October. And, again, we want the federal government to launch an investigation into the practice of eugenics, okay, as it was done statewide, all right? And we're going to be giving you more information about that as we proceed. But for now, we're going to go to our live line, and I believe we got joining us now Dr. Randy Short. Brother Randy, are you with us?
Sure, sister. How are you?
You know, MJ, we're fine.
So happy to be in touch with you. I'm here with Brother Kwame.
Literally, wonderful.
I'm looking at him in his office. He's typing something on Depo-Provera right now. Okay. And he's the brother that sort of brought me in. So I'm not one of those Negroes that, like James Cameron, who stole my cousin scripts and made Avatar, and he's in court being sued. I have to give honor to whom honor is due. Kwame Fosu is a proud son of the Ashanti people, raised in the United States, and he's very committed. He's one of the people that spearheaded the Blood Diamonds effort. He works with the Rebecca Project, which helps prevent the trafficking in young women. And he's the brother that's been fighting to make certain that the news got out, that they were experimenting on our sisters in Africa and all over the world. So when you hear about Depo-Provera and me, I have to first say someone shared this with me. You know, it says each one teach one. He's been teaching
That's
me
right.
all about it. So I have to. Okay. He's here. I want him to at least speak to you. And I want to sidebar and we'll get out of here. That sister that just spoke before, you got to put me in touch with her because I'm one of those black history teachers that keeps getting fired because the students like me and the people above me were folks who didn't even have PhDs. In fact, the woman who ran the department I was in Tennessee was in the Daughters of the Confederacy and convinced a black school to stop teaching black history. And the person above me was an Indian who was a Hindu who hated black folks. So go figure. And this is a black card. That had happened twice. So that's the thing. Never lied. And,
I know that's right.
That part of what's happening is you can't teach about Depo Provera. You can't teach about Margaret Sanger if you don't have people with the kind of consciousness that that sister had, that you have, that brother John Hendrick Clark had, all of that. We need that. I want Kwame because he can make it, you know, because I'm going to go off and just, but he can succinctly break it down to you. I only want to give one story. I'm going to speak for 30 seconds. Remember I told you about the woman I called to show up for a protest in Detroit? And she told me her entire spinal cord had been destroyed from osteoporosis from taking Depo Provera. And she was sterilized by Depo Provera. And her mother was experimented on in the 60s with Depo Provera. They've been doing this to our women a long time. And so they've raised up this brother stepped up, and we're so happy to work with you. I'm going to give you Kwame Fosu. Come on.
All right. And again, Brother Kwame Fosu is from the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. Greetings, Brother Kwame. How are you this evening?
Greetings. I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having us on the show and talking about this very important subject for women.
Absolutely.
And especially sisters, black women in the United States and black women across the African diaspora who are being targeted by Melinda Gates, USAID, different foundations here in the United States, Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, targeting black women for use of Depo Provera. And as we all know, Depo Provera is the most dangerous contraceptive in the world. It's called the shot. And most women in the United States and around the world who go for a shot of Depo Provera are not informed of the debilitating effects of this drug. They're quite deadly effects. And I don't know whether you want me to go through a couple of them
We're going to kind of just highlight some things tonight, but in upcoming shows, we're going to do a whole show, we'll do several, but we know we're going to do shows that specifically is going to focus on this. But we want to begin to introduce our family listening audience to one of the campaigns that we have agreed to work with and we will be, you know, dealing with aggressively. So, yes, Brother Kwame, please continue.
Okay. Thank you. So what the usual experience of a woman, a black woman, or usually girls who are under the age of 16, when they go to a clinic, they're first offered Depo Provera because they are either on public funding, Medicaid, they're offered Depo Provera. And when they go for the shot, they are not told. They go into the room and they give them the shot and they say, well, you're going to gain weight and you're going to feel some discomfort. But they're not told of the various side effects. The first side effect, which has been warned by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is a black box warning that states that Depo Provera may cause significant bone mineral density loss, and that loss of bone density is irreversible. Hence, all the lawsuits women have been filing, and the cases are being settled by Pfizer because women really have their bone density eviscerated. It's basically destroyed, And so also one of the warnings is that you are not supposed to use Depo-Provera for more than 2 years. They don't tell low-income women and girls that. They don't tell black women that. And so some women have been on this drug since they were teenagers to the time they become adults. And they start getting problems with breast cancer because it doubles your risk of breast cancer. And it also doubles your risk to HIV/AIDS because what Depo-Provera does is it's a very powerful concentrated shot of progesterone, and it breaks down your vaginal epithelium, and it makes you more susceptible to all STDs. But the most serious STD of all is HIV. And all these risks are being concealed from women, from black women, so they can continue using it, so Pfizer can continue making money. And apart from the financial benefit to Pfizer, it's also a goal of the Population Council of Planned Parenthood and many other birth control family planning advocates is to reduce the populations of black people in America and black people around the world, even though we are already the lowest rate of population growth here in the United States, and also in Africa we have a normal population growth. So it is really a theory that's unfounded. We are not overpopulating the United States, and they just want a certain type of person who is white to populate the United States. And therefore, they have all these very aggressive contraceptive, dangerous contraceptive policies, and they never steer women, black women, towards the safer contraceptive policies that are low-dose contraceptives, which are acceptable.
Right.
Yeah. So for our education campaign, what we're doing is we are starting next week, and we're going to be educating women across the country about the dangers of Depo-Provera and also the false marketing that is taking place on Planned Parenthood's website. I don't know whether you saw a document that we produced, but when you go on Planned Parenthood's website, they actually tell you there's nothing to do before having sex. You know, when you use Depo-Provera, there's nothing to do. When, in actuality, when you use Depo-Provera, that's the time you're supposed to use a condom, because that's the time when you're most susceptible to all STDs. So, yeah, so hopefully we'll have a very good campaign with the help of Brother Dr. Randy Short and you, Empress. I think we'll have a wonderful campaign, and we'll be able to educate millions of women here in the United States and in Africa.
All right. Well, my brother, before we continue, we just want to remind everyone that we are going to go over our regular time tonight. We usually close out at 12, but we will continue on until 12:30. Because we want to make sure if you have a question or a comment that you would like to bring forward, we want you to be able to do that. This is very serious, needless to say, and I just want to add before we continue that when I did my presentation at the UN in March, one of the things that I announced is that we were, in fact, going to do the Justice for Rally for Justice, and we will be charging genocide. And then I also mentioned that as we speak, Israel is, a part of sterilizing our women in Israel. Well, needless to say, the room got real chilly, and I didn't really mean to use the word sterilize. I meant to use the word that they're, giving women birth control without their knowledge. But this woman came to me afterwards, Brother Kwame, and she says, well, I'm so glad that you mentioned all of that. She said, but I just want to give you a correction. Israel is not dealing with sterilization. They did give the women birth control without their knowledge, but that wasn't sterilization. And I looked at her like, if you don't get out of my face. But, I was at the U.S., so I had to, be a little more diplomatic. And I just said to her, I said, excuse me, but you know, first of all, the fact that they were given this without their knowledge, that's a violation. I said, but secondly, oh, she said, because there was no surgical procedure done, it wasn't sterilization. And I said to her, you do realize we're in the 21st century, which means with the advanced, so-called advancement in drugs and medicine, you can do stuff without cutting you. And she looked at me like, oh, you weren't supposed to know that. So what happened, when I got back, I began to do some further research. And surely enough, I found this thing called, I think it's called Assure. Okay? And this is a new birth control thing that Planned Parenthood has on their website. And it deals with permanent sterilization. And it is a tablet. It's not something you shot with. At least that's not what it looked like. But my point being is that you can literally take something that intentionally sterilizes you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And these are the things that people need to really know and understand, that these folks got this stuff out there, and they are making certain that it gets into our community.
Yeah. And I also want to add to that with Israel actually did change their policy on Depo-Provera on January 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they changed their policy. And from now on, since January 28th, they have been requiring that all doctors not prescribe Depo-Provera to African women anymore. And also, if they're going to prescribe it, they have to give the woman full informed consent of all the dangers of Depo-Provera. So that is, I think that's a step in the right direction after a lot of human rights groups advocated, as we're going to be doing here in the United States. So that's a policy change that I think we should recognize, and but there are many other countries that are still doing that, and right here in our major cities, in like Philadelphia, in Washington D.C., in New York, in all our urban areas where there are high concentrations of African Americans, this drug is being used and targeted to our population.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Wow. So apparently we've got a lot of work again to do, because they certainly are not telling our people, our women and girls in particular, about this particular drug. Now, just so that we're clear, what are some of the plus things that they're pushing out there? Because it's important that we understand the marketing of this stuff. What is it that is appealing, that will be appealing?
What is appealing about Depo-Provera?
Right, and I'm saying from the way that they're marketing it.
Oh, the way they're marketing it. What they say. They market it as a lifestyle drug.
Right.
And what they say, so when you go to Planned Parenthood's website, and you go to just like the second page on the website, and it'll say the shot, and it shows a black woman smiling, you know, very happy to take the shot, Depo-Provera, and they have something that says, what are the benefits of the shot? And the first benefit they list is using the birth control is simple, safe, and convenient. And the shot provides very effective, long-lasting pregnancy and protection.
Right.
They don't tell you anything else. They don't have the FDA warnings on their website. They don't have any of the research that has been done regarding breast cancer or HIV/AIDS on their website. Then the next benefit they list is there's no daily pill reminder.
Right.
And so this is what they sell to black folk. Like we don't have sense, and we can't remember to take the pill if it's important to us. You know, but you know, it's as if white women can remember, but we cannot remember, and we are so you know sexualized that we need it so badly that we have to take a shot and poison our bodies for 3 months. So we can keep having sex forever. You know, it's the most nonsensical, absurd, you know, marketing scheme I've ever seen. And then, of course, that, well, there's nothing to do right before sex. Right there on their website. You know, which means don't use a condom. I mean, AIDS, with AIDS in our communities, why would they be so irresponsible and put on their website that there is nothing to do right before sex after you take a shot? I mean, that's absolutely irresponsible. And then what they say is, some women say it improves their sex life because it helps them feel more spontaneous. this is no kidding. This is what they have on their website. I mean, it's really unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
See, that's why it was important to ask that question, my brother, because people need to really hear.
Exactly.
You know, we don't break this stuff down often like we should, and we need to see clearly the diabolical ways that these people infiltrate our community. And with that said, and I want you to continue, with that said, we need to also check out who in our community supports it.
Yes. And the last thing they say is the shot can help prevent cancer of the lining of the uterus, which is a flat out lie, and that is called an off label use, which is illegal under FDA regulations, and they should be sued for that. The DOJ, the Department of Justice, should be filing a suit against Planned Parenthood and Pfizer for making this off-label statement. It's absolutely false. It's absolutely false, and Depo-Provera is not approved as a cancer prevention drug, so they cannot make that statement. It's ridiculous. And but they get away with it because the lobby for the reproductive health lobby is very powerful. And it controls a lot of politicians who are in power, and so they're afraid to speak. And advocates like the Rebecca Project and other journalists who have been brave to talk about this either get blacklisted, and they have their funding pulled. So it's a very difficult terrain that we have to navigate. But we are still very successful because this time when we got attacked, the community came together and supported our organization because they see that the work we're doing is very important at the Rebecca Project, and so we've been very successful in that and in that side.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, what can we say? We know that, you know, the enemy is upping the ante on their end. And so we better really understand what's going on. Family, if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to go into the chat room. There are a few folks there now. And, you know, talking about how we're getting it from all ends. You know, we're getting it from them shooting us up with stuff to now the GMOs and the various other things. This is one of the reasons why, from the MWM standpoint, again, we've created different components. We have now something we're bringing to you called the African Holistic Health and Healing Society, and also one of our projects, which is the Optimum Health, Wellness, and Healing Project. We're going to tell you more about that as we proceed into October for our anniversary. Again, if you have a question or comment, you can also push 1 now, and we certainly will take your question or comment. We're talking to Brother Kwame, who is the director at the Rebecca Project, which is a human rights group, and that's the work that they do. Let's see, we have a caller here at 3887. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight dealing with this topic of Depo-Provera? Oh, wait a minute. Okay, we got you now. Caller, you're at 3887. Question or comment?
Hi, I'm in Sacramento. It's Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne. How you doing?
Okay.
All right.
Actually, I missed the ability to make a comment when you were talking about the Black Studies and other things. And I just wanted to say I have been observing this all over the country, the elimination of those programs or the replacement with people who are white. And and even some of our online publications that we think are headed by Black people are not. And sometimes you find it out in the process of a negative response. And I think just like the gentleman is speaking of the Prevera, sometimes we need to have our people engaged in practicing analysis of what we're being told. You know, we're being told that North Korea is preparing to bomb us, not that we are antagonizing them. And we're so many excuses. And I really do think with the current budgets that are getting ready to go through for the nation, we're going to see hundreds of thousands of our people begin to die. Here in Sacramento, at one clinic for chemotherapy, 5,000 people were just notified that they can no longer get their chemo there. And this is happening at clinics across the country where people get chemo for $2,500 a month, and now it's going to cost $6,500. They're going to be referred to a hospital for it, except that the hospitals aren't prepared to do it. So this means you know which people are going to die because they're not going to be able to get it, and they're not going to be able to pay the increased copay, and then the Social Security cuts that the president has recommended, which exceed what the Republicans asked for, are going to cut the average Social Security recipient by a month's income. So to me, I see this as a full-scale launch of more attacks on the people that people want to get rid of.
Absolutely. And that, again, should really motivate us to a greater extent to get our acts together and become as self-determined as possible.
Yes. And also, I saw on your website the effort to develop a party associated with people of African descent. I don't know if you saw any information. The Freedom Socialists are fighting each other because a woman was allegedly raped by someone high up in that party and in London, and they defended the rapist instead of the rape victim, and that has split them apart, male and female. They're battling, so that party is over. So, well, thank you very much, both of you, and you know, I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, thank you for that. Okay, that was our sister Suzanne out in Cali, Sacramento. And again, Sister Suzanne mentioned that we are looking at formulating some other kinds of parties. And again, it's not like the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. We ain't trying to do none of that. Our party is as historically you've heard, for self-defense. Well, it's also for self-determination. And its major focus is going to be on training our people, educating our people, and preparing those that we want in office. We want to be able to, you know, train them and handle their campaigns and so forth and so on. We want to also learn more about the processes of what the stuff is, how it really operates. And again, we're focusing primarily on local politics, okay? That other stuff, that's not what we're looking at. We're looking on things that we can deal with in local, in the city, maybe state level. And we'll be telling you more about that in the near future as well, because we want to run to our own people. There are some offices that is not about as much as the game stuff. You know, for example, there's register of wills, there's traffic court judges, there's so many different things that you know, it's not about as much about the BS stuff, but again, we'll talk more about that later. Brother Kwame, let us move on with you. We have one more caller who has a question or a comment. Caller, you're at 7940. You have a question or comment for us tonight.
Yes, I want to thank you, Sister Empress, for being, this is Sister Amy, for being the person you are to work with people. And I was talking to the Victor family, and they let me know you got the website for them, and, you know, I know you're doing what you can, and I really want to thank you. And also, I want to give a comment out that I really appreciate how you are very conscious, aware of we need to stick together and we need each other, because these Caucasians is going to pick us off one by one if we don't posse up and group up and do something about them. They are diabolically wicked, and I'm working with the Nation of Islam, also Empress, to help me with this situation. Now, they done turned up my targeting with this microwave energy, where they legally, they are trying to, the microwave my eyes to the point where they trying to get, burn my eyes, they're burning my eyes where I have to wear a patch and I can't go to the doctor because I'm not going to allow the doctor to misdiagnose me as something that it is not. They can only give me a medical symptom, but they can't cause of the medical illness I'm suffering with, but they can't tell me why. I can tell them why, but they will say I'm delusional. So I'm really reaching out for allies of in the medical community that also work with the targeted individuals. And I don't know if you all know about targeted individuals. I'm not trying to shift the conversation, but I want you to all know that it's the diabolical wickedness, not just with the depth of vera, but any scientific things these Caucasians can do in that laboratory, they are trying to commit a eugenic genocide program on our people. Because they know we are some great people. And one thing, I don't care what nobody says about my peoples, I love my peoples because we by nature are not no diabolical, wicked creatures. We have to get from up under them. We have to do what we need to do. And I really appreciate when I just hear Sister Empress Chief voice, I really, really, really appreciate this sister. Because this sister, if she had to stand in front of the Creator and ask, what is she doing? I know she would, thank you, Brother Assalamualaikum, she would be able to say, yes, sir. She would have the ability at peace to say she did her job by trying to bring, well, she is bringing her peoples together. Because it's just sad how wicked these Caucasians is. So I just want to say thank you for being my peoples, because I wouldn't trade this black skin in for nothing in the world, because I love my people. We are some strong people, but we got to get up from them knocking us down over these years and know that we don't have nobody but each other in this hour. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Amen. Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you. All right, family, moving right along. Brother Tommy, we want to go back to you and come to your closing comments for tonight. And, again, this is just the first of this dialogue. We're going to go into some very lengthy and more in-depth kinds of things in the near future, because there's quite a few reports that you have and other things that you're going to make available to us so that we can really be prepared to launch this campaign. So, Brother Kwame, give me your final comments for tonight.
Okay. Again, thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting us over. And it is our goal that at the end of this campaign, that we're going to launch, which I believe is going to be a campaign that's going to be ongoing for as long as Depo-Provera is being used in the United States or in Africa or anywhere there are black people. We're going to keep working at this. And our goal is to make sure that every woman has full informed consent of Depo-Provera's harm. That's what's been implemented in Europe. That's what's been implemented in Canada, that's what's been implemented in India, and that's what's been implemented in Israel just of this year. And so we want women to be informed that, one, Depo-Provera significantly reduces your mineral bone density, Depo-Provera doubles your risk of breast cancer, Depo-Provera increases a woman's susceptibility to HIV by twofold. And also, Depo-Provera causes blood clots, it causes strokes and heart attacks. And this is one of the major leading causes of deaths amongst black women, which is heart attacks, breast cancer, and HIV. And apart from all that, because the shot makes you gain so much weight, you're also susceptible to diabetes. So this is just a drug that is no. It's wrong for our communities and should never be used by any black woman. And if women want to use this drug, it's mm-hmm. I believe that we live in a capitalist state. If women want to use this drug, they have to be informed of the harm completely. They cannot decide to inform, white women and other women who are more educated and have private health insurance about harm of Depo-Provera. And when it comes to women who are using public assistance or using some type of state-funded health insurance, they do not inform them about this harm. And that's going to be the goal of this campaign, to educate women about the harms of Depo-Provera and mm-hmm. full informed consent.
Wonderful.
Yes,
Brother Kwame, please give out your information if there's a website or email address that people
yes.
can communicate with you.
Yes, please.
Please give that to us tonight.
Okay. My website, the organization is called the Rebecca Project for Human Rights, and our website is www.rebeccaproject.org. And my email address, if anyone wants to reach me, is kwame@rebeccaproject.org. That's kwame@rebeccaproject.org. That's rebeccaproject.org.
All right, very good. Brother Kwame,
thank you so very much.
You're so welcome. And we'll have you back on again very soon. And as you know, I'm in full support of this campaign,
yes.
and I'm endorsing it, and we plan to for the Rally for Justice, we plan to have you and Brother Randy there, and we will
okay.
have a lot of information available for people when they come, so that we can really make certain that our women are made aware of the dangers connected to this drug.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you
You're
very much.
Welcome.
We appreciate your support. Thank you.
Without a doubt. I'd like to speak to Brother Randy again, if I may,
yes.
please.
Yes. I'm right here. I just want you to know, I mean what I say, that I don't hog mics. This brother has a lot to give and to say, and I don't mind stepping back for any man or woman
right.
that's going to advance our people. So thank you for letting this brother share. He has so much to offer. And, I'm just thrilled to be able to work with him. There's another brother that we work with. His name is Jesse. And,
mm-hmm.
Jesse, I need to have him talk about the psychotropic drugs they push in the schools.
Mm.
They're making them kill themselves, kill one another. Sometimes the kids are tested positive. It's the drugs that were forcing them by the school, and they end up in lockup. And we're going to stop it. And that group, I'm a member. It's a Citizens Council on Commission on Human Rights, and
mm-hmm.
we're tired of them drugging our seniors and experimenting on our sisters, and so that's something else. So, I mean, find some time for Jesse and I to come in, because at Sandy Hook,
okay.
he was on something. The folks,
mm-hmm.
when they shot him at Columbine, they were on something. All
mm-hmm.
over the country, the shooting and killing, and they're on these drugs, and it's the same people. Pfizer, the same ones poisoning
mm-hmm.
our sisters with Depo-Provera. They even have a drug called Rapamun, which is a kidney drug that's killing black folks. They call it rap to get us to use it. They're making all these things, chantics, killing people. They know all about it. And so I want to come back and talk about the health issues,
We also, once we get to Deborah Provera, we got to deal with this fluoride. Israel just outlawed fluoride. I mean, our people being forced, and I think I sent you a film where they know that black people's DNA is susceptible to take in twice as much fluoride. Fluoride binds with lead, so we're getting twice as much lead in our system, killing us. Fluoride makes your bones break down. Fluoride contributes to kidney failure. Look at all the dialysis places in our community. They know all about it, and it's being suppressed, just like they suppress this information that Kwame has on Deborah Provera. And I got some people, scientists, white, black, and otherwise, who can put it down. But we're going to stop it in 2013 because, you know what? You lifted up a torch. We're going to start calling you Sister Liberty. You are Statue of Liberty. You lifted up a torch, a standard that we could come together. We didn't need brand name people who were getting a homo fan and everything else, that you could stand up and bring people together. And so all of my friends know about you. I'll be bringing them. And we do need a political party and a health commission. We need a government.
That's right. That's no doubt about it.
Keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. We love people in Philly. I just want you to know, when I was on radio today, I dog God's nail. And we'll do everything as we can to help. And just remind them that Deborah Provera, Planned Parenthood, all of these people are out to get our sisters. They know if they take down the black woman, you end humanity, or you compromise the existence of all folks. They think they'll just get us. If they do a black woman, they've done inhumanity. That's how crazy they are. They try to get rid of the mother of humanity. There would be no humanity without black women. Look at how they're acting, not just towards us, but towards God Almighty. He put y'all here for us to exist. What was Adam going to do but touch himself? We need y'all.
I know that's incomplete
without our women. We're incomplete. I'm a single, broke dude. Trust me. You know, I'm being funny. You know, Kwame says I can't joke with people. But, look, we need each other. We have to help and support each other. We've got to stop. We need to love each other. We need black on black love, African on African love. We need to support everything. We need to get these drugs and things. You know, Africa is a home of chemistry and medicine and medication. You go to Egypt right now, and the pyramids and all the stuff still have the paint 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years later. And yet, the same folks who think they're superior with all the advanced knowledge, and the paint fall off every 2-3 years, and they're superior to Africans. Somebody better pull their coat. You understand what I'm saying? So that's, and you know what? People who can make paint that will last 6,000 years come out of black women.
Wow. That's why,
imagine Duran and them don't like y'all. Maybe they're going to make next to do something as genius that they can't put a patent on or have to steal it. So we have to get our sisters to recognize that they are blessed. They're not cursed. Your hair is divine. Your eyes are divine. Your body is divine. You're designed by God divinely. You have no one to apologize. Those folks down in Planned Parenthood and Pfizer and all those little black necks like the one I got put her name out. Shout out to Karen Boykin's town. We coming to get you, sister. Frieda Lewis home. Get $1.5 million a year to poison our sisters. We coming to get you. And I got to do this shout-out. What's his name? Reverend William Gray at Brightside Baptist Church. He's on the board of Pfizer. I don't know what he's getting, but he's getting something to look the other way. Sisters are hurt. In fact, as powerful as that man is, don't you think that God's nail would be under the jail if the black political folk in Philly really cared about what those sisters went through in that house of horrors?
That's right.
So I said it from D.C. so you don't get in trouble. And that NAACP dude up there, he looked like the Frito Bandito on the diet.
Hey, brother, for the record now, I stay in trouble and love it. So don't get it twisted. I have no problem. Look, as long as it's speaking truth to power, rest assured, I'm going to stay in trouble.
Run around with a cowboy hat and he look like an Indian. You need to switch that thing for a feather.
You know, you hit on something.
Yeah.
You hit on something really, really important, and I had not thought about it, because we started off with this question earlier, and we put it on our blast. Why has there been so little mention about this House of Horrors, about this case, about this horrific thing that has happened here with these murders, the way these people did this? Why has that been so down key?
Some black necks got paid. I'm going to tell you, black necks got paid.
For those who don't know, define black necks for us, please, brother.
A black neck is a Judas Benedict Arnold striving, conniving, lying, faking, homo fair taking, striving bourgeois, fake black person who doesn't want to help his own people or her own people. They will do anything to anyone to get to what Chestnut Hill, that's what y'all got there, where folk want to be, that hybrid or gated community. They think cutting every other African American or African's throat is the way for them to make it without any regard that they don't even understand. Like the folks in the Warsaw Ghetto, the capos, the Jewish police that sold out their own people. Once they got all their people packed up in the trains to go to the concentration camps, the Germans lined them up to thank them, and they mowed them down. That's a black neck.
Mm.
And they masquerade as leaders. Some of them have process here when it should have been natural decades ago. No comment on that. Some of these people pretend to be leaders. Sometimes they get to high places, but if you look at what they do, they never sacrifice for the people. They never give up anything. I'm not against money. I'm not against people succeeding. But I'm looking at the NAACP with tens of millions of dollars in their budgets now, and they haven't written one amicus brief to stop and frisk in New York City. Yet they're down fighting for guys with poodles and no babies to get married. That's a black neck. I mean, they spent equal time, I wouldn't say anything, but no time for New York, where they're shooting down babies. Mothers are crying for their babies. Mothers are crying for their sons and their daughters. I mean, no help for Amadou Diallo. Not really. No real help for Eleanor Bumpers. They took a $25,000 payoff to turn against Tawana Brawley and then work to undermine it. You know, we've got to talk about what these folks do. And we can just bring it all the way up to, where's the noise for the black studies across the country being closed?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the noise for this Depo Provera? The FDA black box report went out 2004. They had refused to approve it between the 60s all the way into the early 90s. And now there are all these people sick. And Kwame and the others went before the Congressional Black Caucus Brain Trust. And they got the reports. I mean, do you think it would be so hard once it's proven that the thing is deadly to at least ask the question? Ask, even if you couldn't stop it, to at least bring it before the people. Brothers and sisters, this is what science says. Perhaps you want to continue to use this, but I'm obligated to tell you. You know, I was selling insurance. Do you know I had to tell people the limitations, the restrictions, or the things that you couldn't cover? So if you wanted to go to see a homeopathic doctor, I'd have to tell you, our plan won't cover that. Unless that doctor has another, do you understand? This is what you do, even in business, even when you don't care anything about people, it's just about money. When someone sells you a car, they have to tell you the NPG. Why didn't the leadership warn? Where are these people? They're living better than ever. That's what blacknecks do. The blacknecks that will get a school system and then they'll privatize it. Where are we going to get the money to pay for kids to go to school? Why is there assignments? The same in ACP that spent money trying to make every black kid sit next to a white kid when white folk are taking spaceships to the moon to make certain that their kids don't sit next to black kids. And yet now that all the schools have been closed, where is Boy Jealous or Boy Sellers? Where are these people? Where is your guy with the cowboy hat down there? I wish you were a Lone Ranger to stand up and these people shut the schools down. Please, Jesus, help us.
Well, family, we have come to the end of our program, unfortunately.
And we're going to revisit Black Necks and a bunch of other stuff that we need to talk more about. We want to remind you, of course, that the Rally for Justice will be taking place in Washington, D.C. on October the 25th, which will mark the anniversary of the Million Woman March and
Amen.
Kick off the international movement, universal movement of the Million Woman March. And so, unfortunately, we are down to our last minute. I want to thank Brother Randy Short again and Brother Kamal for joining us for this segment. Can't even talk now. But we will be back next week, of course, same time, same location. We hope that you will all continue to tell our folks about our program and ask them to tune in. And we remind you, we need your pledge. We're asking for now, this being our sixth year of bringing you live and in living color information, edification. Please make a pledge. Only $10. We need it. At any rate, we've come to our last segment. And again, we want to thank all of you for tuning in. And we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you. And that is in the spirit of Ma'atenhotep, meaning peace and justice. But remember, there can be no real peace without justice, without Ma'at. Till next time, Tutanana. Much love, much respect.
In that school hour, you look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore. Ain't any.